เสนอความเห็นข่าวก็ดีนี
Good morning. Let's join in singing our song, Surely the Presence. Let's sing together. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.As I said, good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Some announcements that we need to attend to this morning are our attendance registry. If everyone would please register your attendance and on the pads that will be passed by, and then of course those are to be placed in the offering plate. If you're a visitor, you will be placed on our mailing list. So if you would like to be, and if you would like to be placed on our mailing list, please include your address and your phone number, and we'd be glad to do that. Also, if you were to be in need this morning of a large print bulletin or hymnal, they are available. I think I need one from here. And I was about to say, put your name and address. No, that's the first announcement. You can get those from the ushers, large print bulletins and large print hymnals as well. No pickup basketball tonight, and that would be because we begin our Festival of Faith this evening. Also, please be sure to sign up for our pictorial directory. The sign-up table is located at the side entrance of the sanctuary. Check your newsletter for more information about the Methodist Men Meeting and the Main Streeters next outing. I do not have that information up here with me.
Men's Club is on Tuesday.
Men's Club is on Tuesday.
Main Streeters is Thursday. We're going to the mountains.
Main Streeters on Thursday, and we are going to the mountains? Is that what I heard you say? I like that. Might have to be over for that. If you are an attendee or a member from Wesley Commons and would like to have transportation to assist you during the Festival of Worship, Festival of Faith, please be sure to see Kathy. Kathy, you have anything to add about that?
See me after church.
Okay, just see Kathy after church, and she will be glad to make arrangements with you for that.Dedication for the E.T. House that Main Street supported will be on Saturday, October the 22nd. That would be next Saturday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon at Bethel United Methodist Church. And that is the location where the E.T. House was constructed. Everyone is invited, and we'll have an opportunity to walk through the E.T. House at that time. Please, please be sure...to make special note of the Festival of Faith beginning tonight. That's tonight, Monday, and Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Our speaker will be the Reverend Talmadge Skinner, who was, is a chaplain emeritus of Wofford College. It's going to be an exciting time. We have quite a variety of special music planned, including the Centurions, a local gospel group here in Greenwood. They will be with us on Tuesday night.And we look forward to a great time together. And this is sort of my own announcement. I hope that we'll have Men's Day or men in the choir a little more often, because it has been a fantastic opportunity to sing with these men. And I look forward to you hearing what they're going to present in worship today. And I think you are going to be blessed by their presence today. So let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Worship the Lord with jubilant hearts, not to please one another, but to praise our God. Worship the Lord with jubilant minds, not to gratify our neighbor, but to glorify God. Worship the Lord with your heart, soul, and mind. Come, let us worship the Lord. Please be seated. Please join me in the invocation printed in your bulletin. O God, we hear your voice calling our name. Draw us closer, visit us, grasp our hand and lead us, that we may know that it is you, our Creator, who knows our name. You will open doors to us never opened before. You will unlock gates that have always been closed. You will send light in the direction we should grow. Then we will know it is you and no other who goes before us. Amen.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Kelly Mullenix for pulling together all these brave men. and my sympathy to those of us who were not asked for whatever reason. Perhaps it was space. We have some concerns and some thanksgivings as well before we come to our prayer time. First of all, I want you to be in prayer, and I also want you to be in your seat tonight with a guest, with a friend, with a neighbor for Dr. Talmage Skinner and our Festival of Faith, which is so close to a revival that it's almost a distinction without a difference. But we do want you to be here tonight, and we want it to be a success. Also a thanksgiving, Joyce Rourke will be home on Monday, I am told, but she still will need some attention and some visits and some help, perhaps a meal or two. Please be mindful of that. Former friend and retired pastor Joe Sowell is in the hospital. Some of you know him in Greenville. Jim Medley in the hospital this weekend. Mary Elizabeth Stockman. Also, another pastor, Scott Conninger, was in a very serious accident. He and his family, his daughter, and other family members also very seriously injured in that accident. Please be in prayer for Scott Conninger and his family. We also have some prayer concerns that are printed in the bulletin. We need to be mindful of Peggy Ackerman, Joe Hinton, Ed Garvey, Mary Lou Beecham, Mamie Scurry, Faye Rush, Betty Turner, Buff Lehman under hospice care, Sarah Ann Wise recovering, Joyce Bartless under treatment, Patty Griffith Law, your former pastor, of course. We have some concerns and names that I don't have permission to mention but are in my heart and some of you are aware of today who have test results that they're waiting on, and that pertains to several of us this morning. Let us be mindful of these things, also mindful of a young member of Jeremy Kelly's youth group who was in a very serious accident. I think his name was David Gibson, very serious, in a drug-induced coma in Columbia. Let us be in prayer for him and for his family. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord and guiding Spirit, we come self-aware of how we look and how we walk and how we present ourselves to each other. Take away the mirror of others as we come to present ourselves to you. We want to feel a full part of something that lasts. From week to week, the news cracks the seams of what we thought was a more or less stable world. We hear with deeper truth the words from King David, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." We wince inside with each special report. We cling to you as our rock, our fortress, our salvation. We pray that tonight's festival of faith, as we return, we will bring our friends and neighbors, and that your Spirit will be strongly present with comfort and power and clear direction for where we are to go from here. As a church, as individual people of faith, and as families and workers, we often feel adrift. Send us light this evening and this day through your word. Send us joy through the music and the fellowship, we pray. And we do pray for those who are grieving, and for all those who are struggling with illness and financial concerns and uncertainties, for those everywhere who are caught up in war and violence, in addictions, in despair. We pray for those who are just barely hanging on and who need one soul to reach out and notice. Let us notice one another today. We pray for ourselves and for the ministries here and for the marriages here and for the families here and for the mission team in Mississippi now and for our mission to those around us today. Father, we do pray also for the leaders of the nations of this world. May they be more open to the influence of your Spirit. And we lift up the private prayers of our hearts before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as He taught us to pray. We are bold to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for a special children's time with Miranda Stockman.
Does anybody know what holiday is coming up after Halloween?
Yeah.
What?
Christmas.
Oh, before Christmas. Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
I'm October. Yeah, it's in November, actually. When y'all talk about Thanksgiving, do you ever hear anything about the pilgrims?
No.
They wear funny hats and funny-looking shoes with buckles. These pilgrims took a pilgrimage to America to have religious freedom or to worship God how they wanted to. Well, the youth this past weekend took a pilgrimage to Mississippi, where we helped people who were affected by Hurricane Katrina. And while we were there, we found this sign that says, Pilgrimage. Does anybody know what a pilgrimage is?
Yeah.
What is it? A pilgrimage is a journey taken by a pilgrim to a sacred place. Yeah. Mississippi doesn't really seem like a sacred place when you think about the hurricane and how it's destroyed so many lives and homes. Because usually when you think of something sacred, you think of a church or a tabernacle or something. But God called each of us to go to Mississippi, and he worked on each of us in different ways and was there with us the entire weekend, which makes this place that we went to very sacred. God calls each of you to take a pilgrimage and to be pilgrims. You don't have to wear funny clothes or even travel very far. You can even be a pilgrim at your school or your home or soccer practice or wherever. God may even be calling you just to give somebody a smile or a hug. Let us pray. Holy Father, we know that you want us to become pilgrims for you. Help us to recognize that call and respond to that calling with a cheerful heart.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, 33rd chapter, verses 12 to 23. And Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. Now, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all of the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you can stand on a rock, where my glory will pass by, and I will put you in a cleft in the rock, and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the New Testament, First Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 1 to 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because your gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know now how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators in us and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, your faith in God became known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
Now is the time when we notice one another, when we look at one another, when we allow the peace of God to pass between us. Let us pass the peace.
Hallelujah, and you'll sing hallelujah. We'll go marching up to glory, singing hallelujah. sing hallelujah. We'll go marching up to glory, singing hallelujah. Let's all sing hallelujah, and you'll sing hallelujah. We'll all sing hallelujah. Come sing hallelujah.
Scripture says that one day Jesus was watching at the temple what people were putting into the collection plates. This morning we have a unique situation in which we have 30 men standing here watching what you put into the collection plates. If it helps the collection, we will do it again next week. Let us continue worshiping God through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, we do praise you from whom all blessings flow, and we do thank you for entrusting unto us enough for every good cause and enough to return and support your church here and its ministry and mission. Bless these offerings, these tithes, these gifts, to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel how to entangle him in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of men. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the money for the tax." And they brought him a coin. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Okay.
Good morning. When we arrived Friday at Mississippi, it was after we had eaten supper. And we were at this tabernacle where we were staying, and we were all talking and stuff. And me and Lauren and Minky were talking to Jason, and we were like, you know, we are really scared. We don't know what to expect. And we just, our emotions are going everywhere. We have no clue what to expect. And so we prayed about it. And then we got up the next morning, and we went to Miss Belden's house. And when we got there, me and Lauren stood there for probably about 15 minutes, and we were absolutely dumbfounded with all the stuff that was in her yard. You could not even walk through. I mean, there was refrigerators and TVs and walls, and a roof from somebody else's house was in her yard. And so we got there and we started cleaning up, and she came back when we were done, and she was looking through, and she had the biggest smile on her face, and tears were rolling down her eyes. And then she looked towards the river where it was down in her yard, and she saw her camellias, and she just absolutely started bawling. She was like, "My camellias, my beloved camellias." She was like, they'll be in bloom next spring, and you should see them. They're so beautiful. I mean, that was just the one thing that was on her mind. She didn't care that her house was about to be demolished, that it wouldn't even be there. All she was cared about was her camellias, and it was her camellias that brought her hope, knowing that, you know, she can start over, and she can have a new life. And her camellias were the ones, knowing that we cleared them out and we were the ones that let her see that. That was just, it was a sign of God that that was going to be her new life, and that, you know, things are going to get better. It's just going to take some time. And that was just God's, you could really feel God there. And it was just really cool.
When Jack said we would probably be going to Mississippi to help with the hurricane victims, I immediately said I was going and didn't think twice. As Friday came closer, I began to get scared about what to expect. So many thoughts were going through my head all at once. When we got there on Friday about 5, we had to go to work to lay out all the tools that we would need tomorrow. On Saturday, 6:30 came way too early, but we were all ready to see what God had in store for us. I would have never thought I would feel the way I felt when we drove up to Miss Belden's house, what she used to call was her home. It was pieces scattered everywhere, 3 houses down. Kayla and I stood in shock for a long time in amazement of what had happened. When I saw the 82-year-old woman with 2 walking canes by her side, standing inside once called her house. Everywhere you looked, you would find her belongings scattered on the ground in uprooted trees. Right then, when she smiled at us, we felt the burst of energy to say, let's show her the work of God. I felt God's presence throughout the day like I never felt before. I said a prayer halfway through the day, asking God to give me the strength I needed to make it through the day. The first chance I got, me and Kayla and I talked to Miss Belden, and this lady's eyes filled with tears, but she never changed the smile in her eyes. I didn't know what to say, so I just held up my hands and gave her the biggest hug I ever could. I will never forget the wonderful smile she gave me later on. I asked Jason how she was so strong, and he told me later on that night, "You are keeping her so strong." That afternoon, I was saved, standing in the worst of the worst. I stood in a daze and said the prayer to God, and I gave my life. I have never seen him working so hard in one place in my whole life. The experience was priceless, and I hope that everyone here today will consider next time to see the wonderful work of God.
One of the questions that I found myself asking when I heard about all the damage that Katrina has done was, how could a loving God do such a terrible tragedy to all these people? And, you know, how could he take away their lives like that, all their belongings and their houses, and some people, even their families? And on our way to Mississippi, I just kept on asking myself that question. I was hoping that I was going to get the answer while I was down there. And when we got there to Miss Spelding's house, which was about 200 yards off the shore, so it was really close to the water, I just stood there. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know. There was trash everywhere. Like Kayla said, people's houses were in her yard. Her house was halfway down the street. There was just stuff everywhere. And we didn't know where to start. We didn't know what to pick up, what to throw away, what to keep. But we came together as a youth group and helped each other out. And we've never been as close as we were then. And when we went back to the church every night to have devotion, it was like we knew the preacher there and all the other workers there. We had known them forever, but we had really only known them for a couple of days. And there was one lady there that was from London. She had just dropped her life, and she was there for about 2 months and just decided to go to Mississippi to help. Left everything back at London, and I just thought that was amazing that she would just drop everything at once from halfway across the world to come to the U.S. and Mississippi and help. And Miss Belden, the house that we were at, she was so positive. She never said one negative thing about any of this. She just knew that things were going to get better over time and that it would be all right, that she was just thankful that her family and she was, you know, their lives were spared. And also the people at the church that we were staying at, they would feed us. They had snacks and, you know, just different meals and everything prepared for us whenever we needed anything, and they were wonderful there. They had also just, you know, devoted their lives to helping the people who were helping other people, and it was just amazing how it was all coming together. And the youth would also like to thank the congregation and everybody here that helped us go and all the other trips go to Mississippi that have already gone and will be going. So thank you.
We thank them, and I think it would be appropriate to give them a little. Others went as well, and we have our fourth team down there right now. And the message that everyone comes back with is that the love of God is just words until the love of God flows through you to meet the needs of another. And then it becomes real, and you feel the Spirit of God making that connection, enabling you to do things that you never thought you could ever do. It is an amazing thing. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My sermon is short. I love this story. A young woman was at the beach working on her tan when a little boy in swim trunks walked up to her and said, "Lady, do you believe in God?" She looked up surprised and she answered, "Well, yes, I do." And then he asked, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" And she answered, "Well, yeah." And then he asked pointedly, "Do you read your Bible and do you pray every day?" Again, she said, "Yeah." And finally, the boy said, Okay then. You can hold my dollar while I go swimming." He was asking honest questions to find out if he could trust that lady. Now, if you remember back to the scripture reading just a moment ago, the Pharisees, they were not asking honest questions. No, they wanted to find out anything they could about Jesus, trying to trick him into saying something or doing something that they could use against him. Sort of like a modern-day press conference. You've heard those kinds of questions at press conferences. "Senator, isn't it true that you've stopped beating your wife?" How do you answer that? You get the picture. When you want to destroy someone, it doesn't matter how you do it. You could paint him as a fake, or you could frame him as a fraud, or someone who hangs out with all of the wrong people, or even imply that he's a threat to the nation. You know, they tried every one of these with Jesus. Now, they began first with compliments and flattery, but you know, sometimes a person's patting you on the back, they're just looking for a nice soft spot to stick in the knife, and that's what they were doing. They buttered him up, and in one translation it says, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and you show no deference for anyone, and you have no regard for people with partiality. And so, tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" I want you to see how perfectly they thought they had Jesus trapped. The emperor had a standing army and had proclaimed himself God. And he was controlling and threatening all the good Jews in Jerusalem and around. Now, if Jesus said, "Go ahead and pay the tax, pay that tribute to Caesar, the oppressor who took your homeland." If Jesus said that, he would be seen as anti-God, as a coward, and a collaborator with the enemy. He could be tried as an enemy of the Jewish faith. But on the other hand, if Jesus said, "Do not pay the taxes to Caesar, do not pay them," the same Caesar who did indeed have military power on every street corner, then Caesar would be arrested as an enemy of the state, as a revolutionary, as a dangerous troublemaker. They thought they had him cold. Are you for Rome? Are you against Rome? Is it okay to pay your taxes or not? You see, taxes have always been an issue. This is not just a recent thing. As somebody has said, you may not agree with every department of the government, but you really have to hand it to the IRS. Okay. All right, I'll try one more. A comedian once said, "I feel honored to pay taxes in America. The thing is, I could probably feel just as honored paying about half as much." All right. The Scripture. The Scripture breaks three rules at once. It brings up politics and money and religion all at the same time, but this is not really about money. Money was just the weapon of the day that they were trying to use against Jesus. They had already decided that he must be destroyed. Jesus knew they were trying to trick him, so he said, "Show me the money. Show me the money." So they dug around in their pocket and they pulled out a coin. But there is something you may not know. Remember first the number one commandment of Judaism and the foundation of Christianity as well is that there is only one God and you shall have no other gods before you. No idols, no worship of graven images or belief in other gods. One God from before the beginning to after the end. What is not widely known is that on that coin, on the coin they handed to Jesus, there was a graven image of Caesar. with the inscription Divus, or God, in Latin. Now, not all coins in the Jewish homeland had images of Caesar. Out of respect for the Jewish law, coins minted by Herod the Great and his son Herod Antipas did not have any images. Devout Jews avoided using coins with images, especially images that said, Caesar is God. So Jesus pulled a double reverse on these people trying to trick him. When he said, show me the money, they dug around thinking they had won, pulled out the coin, and Jesus said, whose picture is on that? And when they said, Caesar's, he had exposed them, not himself, as deceptive and hypocritical compromisers with the Roman occupiers. They were the ones carrying around Caesar's money, not Jesus. They were the ones who had the emperor's image in their pocketbooks and the pagan propaganda on the obverse side saying Caesar is God. A good Torah-loving Jew would not have brought a Roman coin with a graven image of the emperor on one side and the emperor's claim to be God on the other into the temple. And so Jesus, I want you to picture him looking knowingly at the crowd and maybe even winking at the crowd and asking, now, whose image is on that coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, okay. Then give it back to Caesar. He made it. Now here's a point. Picture this. Whose image are we made in? In whose image are humans created? God's. Yes, from Adam all the way down with the infinite variety of faces and races and features, all humanity is created in the image of God. Everyone in this fight knew that same teaching. So here's what most likely happened. When he said, show me the money. Yes, I see the great creator Caesar has created some coins which say he is God. How nice. Next year there may be new coins with a new God, a new Caesar. Give that back to him who asked it. They are his to begin with. And then I picture maybe Jesus reaches out and touches the arms of one of the questioners and said, but what about you? What about you? Are you and you and you? Whose image do you bear? Do you see it? The bigger picture? Whose image do you bear? Jesus was saying, Rabbi, give your whole self to the one who has imprinted the divine image upon you. You, a fellow rabbi, know the story. All I have said is to remind you. The government did not make you, did not create you, does not own you, and collaborating in such a lie makes you less than you were meant to be. And so you, whether in the story or whether modern Methodist here today at Main Street, were created and bear the image of the one true God. The God Jesus Christ made known in His life and teaching, made known by the depth of His love and compassion, by His cross and resurrection, that is the image that we were meant to bear. Render unto Caesar, another temporary power, what is temporary, that coin. And render yourself and your soul and your love and your allegiance unto God in whose image you were made. And as you look around, you will notice that your neighbors, far and near, whether subject of this nation or that nation, also bear the same image of the same Creator that God has made known in Jesus Christ. And so we have an obligation to them as well. There's an English comedian named Eddie Izzard, and he makes fun of the English colonial explorers. You know how they used to travel around the world looking for places that no other Europeans had discovered. And Izzard does this comedy bit where he imagines them walking ashore, and they're surprised to find somebody already occupies that land. They say, oh, you say you live here. Oh, dear. Oh. Well, do you have a flag? The people said, no. And they said, oh. They put their flag down. I claim this land in the name of Her Majesty the Queen. Planting flags as though that makes it theirs. We like to lay claim on things. Caesar claimed to be God and to own his citizens, body and soul. But you were baptized. You were baptized, and in that God laid claim on you. God said, you belong to me, not to the world. You belong to eternity, not to death and dust. By faith and trust in the God who came to us in Jesus Christ, we give ourselves completely to God. And God, being the God of all who bear His image, always sends us out to others, as we have heard this morning. But didn't Jesus already say all this? What belongs to God and what belongs to Caesar? Listen again from the same chapter. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. And as Christians, we know full well that our faith has no nationality, nor race, nor political party, but it does have the awesome truth that we are made in the image of God. And when we do render unto God what belongs to God, we render our hearts, our souls, our minds. And we find out that our faith is not and cannot be mere words printed on a page. Our faith, the faith that Jesus lived, involved action. Always action on behalf of others. Always when we love God, it is shown forth in the love of neighbor. The desire for what is good and what is healing and what is needful for our neighbors. In James, the second chapter in the New Testament, he writes, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, my fellow Christians, what good is it to say you have faith but do not have works? Can such a faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, be filled, and yet does not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. James challenges, show me your faith. Show me your faith apart from your works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. Politics come and go. God stays. Nations and political systems come and go, but there will always be needy neighbors, some who need things that it's beyond the power of any state to provide. Render as a citizen what citizens must render. But as a child of God, own heart, mind, and soul, render to God the recognition that you know in whose image you were made, and in whose image your needy neighbor was made. What belongs to God? This is not a new message. The prophet Micah said it long before, and I will close with Micah's message. What belongs to God? He has told you, O mortal. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. I ask you to turn to page 370, and during the closing of the final verse of 370, I invite the Bassett family forward for reception by reaffirmation of faith. Please stand.
Oh.
welcome today, John and Lori Bassett, their children Lucas and Ella in the nursery. They'll be joining by reaffirmation of faith, and they are transferring from Broadmoor United Methodist Church. And I do ask you today, John and Lori, in front of this new congregation, do you in the presence of God and this congregation renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism?
I do.
Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? Now I ask the congregation to turn over onto page 48 for the reception. Join me at We Rejoice, for we do. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in a way that leads to life eternal. Amen. Now receive this blessing. May each of us come to understand the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God the Father and the grace and forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we feel, discern, and follow the comfort and the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we reach out, having been blessed, reach out to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.